The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And here we go.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend, partying, fun, looking forward to the weekend.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
From the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for the Terrence Crawford-Victor Postol fight is A.J. Hoffman. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Mike Liebeschock and Barry Laminack.
Good evening and welcome in, City of Houston. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. No Fred and no AJ, at least not here in the studios in Houston. This is Mike Liebeschock with my Sunday morning partner, Barry Laminack.
What's up, Playboy?
Not much, man. Good to be here on a Friday evening.
Yeah, did someone just get shot? What the hell was that noise as we came on air?
I don't know what that Tyler was.
There was a really loud noise, like someone fell out, got shot. Are all the TVs still hanging on the wall?
Yep. Everybody's good.
All right.
I don't know.
Good, as you can tell already, first 35 seconds of this broadcast. Producer
hey,
Tyler.
At least that wasn't my fault.
Producer Tyler.
Yeah, you haven't screwed the Blitz up yet, Tyler. Good job.
No, I did see John peek around the window like he was making sure everything was all right.
He was like, what the hell was that?
So, the guys from the Blitz aren't here, at least tonight. By the time you wake up Monday morning, everyone here at this station who's been on vacation for the last 2 weeks, I think there's been five guys who've taken vacation. That's why you've heard us so much.
Yeah, sorry.
Fred and AJ will be back. Dylan, Gwynn, and Barry Warner will be back. Man. Sean Salisbury will stop by for a couple of hours before he takes off again.
Yeah.
So everything will be right in your world.
You know, in Sean Salisbury's contract, instead of negotiating off days, they just negotiate how many days he'll work.
He's got that Lesnar schedule.
He actually did an interview on the radio show that he was taking vacation from today.
Yeah.
For the Denny Green thing.
Like most people say, you get like 4 weeks of vacation or 6 weeks of vacation. He'll just be like, I'll work 7 weeks
year. My intel is that it's based on segments. He doesn't actually negotiate days. He does segments.
Wow.
Yeah, so if there's ever a day that you're listening to Unfiltered and there'll be a 12-minute segment where you don't hear him, it's because he's already worked out the contract for that particular month. Everything that I've been told, looking at my schedule, and they call them jock vacations here, everyone should be back in full force. And AJ Hoffman, you're actually going to hear his voice throughout the Blitz today. He is out in Vegas covering the Victor Crawford-Victor Postol Battle of the Victors out in Vegas. Terrence Crawford-Victor Postol. So, yeah, forget that. It would have been cool, though. Battle of the Victors. He's out there on Radio Row. He has been for a couple days. And he'll be popping in throughout the show. First hour, you'll hear him with Bob Arum. Second hour, Jim Lampley and Roy Jones Jr. And then in hour three, Max Kellerman, who's been covering boxing at ESPN forever. And as you probably have heard, the new co-host, along with Stephen A. Smith of First Take on ESPN.
Yeah.
So I don't know if AJ will venture there. Knowing him, he probably will.
He'll ask him
something about working with Stephen A. So you've got
speaking of Stephen A.
Yeah.
Are you hearing these commercials that he does for a beef jerky?
Yeah.
And he's...
Well, I've seen them.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, it's the voice inside your stomach.
Yeah.
If Stephen A. Smith was the voice, I would stab my stomach. If that was the voice of my stomach, I would stab myself in the stomach.
Have you seen them?
But who's the marketing genius that sat down and was like, you know, we really need to move some jerky.
Who are the ad wizards?
We really need to move some jerky. You know what? When I think jerky, I think Stephen A. Smith.
You know what it reminded me of? The first time I saw that commercial, because he is sitting in someone's stomach during these commercials. He looked like Barbara Eden on I Dream of Jeannie when she's inside the bottle. Yes. It looks like, they're dropping logs on him. They're supposed to be, if you look at it, it looks like whoever it is didn't chew the jerky at all. It's just these gigantic chunks of disgustingness.
It should have been shredded meat falling all over.
However.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand that. That's always baffled me that what was the core. Like, I get Randy Macho Man. I get that, though. Like, Macho Man is just like, oh, yeah, I like the beef, yeah.
Freak out, snap into it, yeah.
I get it, though, just because he's just a weird dude. But, yeah. Like, there's no reason, like, a sports dude like Stephen A. Smith should be peddling jerky.
Is that the worst one out there, I guess?
Is it?
Chris Berman at Applebee's was pretty, but you could see him sitting down to a table full of mozzarella sticks. And
when it comes to food, always trust the fat guy.
Trust,
you know, like
Chris Berman.
Hey, if I go to the grocery store and I'm not quite sure what I'm going to buy, I just follow around the fat person at the store because they know where all the good snacks are
and the bargains.
Exactly.
Money. And you also know the quickest way to get there because they're not taking the circuitous route.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Right. They're not going the long way.
They are going to get from chocolate milk to pretzels in the quickest route available.
So I get Berman doing Applebee's. Stephen A. Smith and beef jerky.
Can I have a side of those mozzarella sticks.
You've done a better Berman.
I've done a better
You've
Berman.
Done a better Berman.
Yeah, what are you going to do? 713-780-3776. There's a lot been going on, and it's cool because when you know you're doing a 4 o'clock show for 3 hours, and in the morning you're like, oh, what the hell are we going to talk about today? Other than J.J. Watt being on Death's Door.
The Wattpocalypse.
Congratulations. It took 6 minutes.
He was waiting for it. I thought he was going to do it when we potted the mics
Tyler,
up.
When they drafted J.J. Watt, Tyler wrote Wattpocalypse.
I am so proud of that.
And he's been waiting.
They're going at the Wattpocalypse.
A little peek in the behind the scenes. Tyler texted Mike and I today, hey, guys, Wattpocalypse. I was like, yeah, whatever. And he's like, I hate you.
Is that better than Springer Dinger?
He was.
But y'all didn't see the tweet that I put out last night.
No.
I don't even think I follow you.
I hate you even more now.
And I'm not on beard Twitter.
Yeah.
What did you tweet about beer?
I did a hashtag 99 horsemen and the Wattpocalypse. I think that's pretty good.
99 horsemen.
It's not bad. It's not Keiko Strykel that you came up
with. What about Wattmageddon?
I'll bet you felt so good.
You should stop.
When he hit tweet.
You should have stopped.
He felt so good.
Have you ever seen a grown man high five himself?
He's like, hey, Mom.
Because he
did.
I was just
smiling and nodding the whole time.
He's like, Mom, look what I tweeted. Look. Bring me the meatloaf.
Down in the basement, hammering away on Twitter.
He's in front of the mirror, giving the mirror a high five. Just, good job, bro.
Give us a call or give us a text. He probably does.
Would you follow
yourself on Twitter?
I'd follow me. Okay. Isn't that Science of the Lambs?
I think it was.
Standing there in front of the mirror. I'd follow me.
If you needed one follower for 1,000, would you follow yourself?
Nice hair. Good to have you
back,
buddy.
That was a little subdued. But
yeah, it wasn't the... also, not your best hair.
No, I'm not feeling it.
You're off today.
It's going to take a little while.
Yeah.
Give us a call. Give us a text. 713-780-3776. You can follow us on the Twitter. I'm at Shock975. He is at Barry is Funny. And then it is still producer T. Scott, though I'm waiting for that to change at any minute. And then we have intern Shaw out in the bully. Happy to take your calls. Lots to cover. We've got the J.J. Watt stuff. And let me ask you this. I saw that in the form of notification coming from, I think, NFL.com, ESPN.com.
Reuters, CNN.
Everyone.
Yeah.
National
Bloomberg
Geographic,
had it. Yeah.
BBC News, Channel 3. Everyone was sending it. I think VH1.
Paul Harvey came back just to say it.
No kidding. And when you first saw that, I expected it to be in all caps with a bunch of exclamation points at the end, but all it said, you know, Texans defensive end J.J. Watt has back surgery. And that was it. There was no detail. There was no nothing. I'm like, is this a lingering injury? Did he fall down the steps? Too much ice cream? What's going on here? And
yeah,
then you
treadmill.
Find out. Yeah, you treadmill, 70-inch box jump. And what was he up against? But as it turns out, herniated disc in the back, which apparently happened very recently. And they're saying anywhere between 6 weeks to one guy at NFL Media Services who said it could be 10 weeks, which would put you squarely at week two, week three. And that's just recovering from the surgery. That's not even getting football ready again.
Yep.
So the question out there for you guys throughout the Houston land is, what do you expect? And when do you expect Watt back? Week three, Week four, certainly not against the Bears. Week three, I think, is the Patriots. So would you like him back for homecoming weekend?
Yeah, no Tom, no JJ. No one's watching that.
All the sexiness has been washed off of that,
yeah,
that game.
You
somewhat.
Know, I'm surprised he, as much as he works out, as much as he does, puts his body through, yeah, I'm surprised he's not injured more. Because that certainly, of course, he's freakish when it comes to, yeah, physical ability. But that can also take a toll on you. And I mean, so it is a bit surprising that he hasn't had more herniated disc or more workout and related injuries just from what he does on a daily basis to get in shape and stay in shape. But also, that said, my opinion on it is he's one of those guys that has always been ahead of whatever he's been told. Like, if it's going to take 7 weeks, he's back in five, right? Like, if, yep, it's going to take 10 weeks, he's back in eight. So I think if they said somewhere between, what, 6 and 10 weeks is what you said, I would, yep, lean towards the six. And I think J.J. Watt at 70% up coming off of those 6 weeks is still better than anything else they have on that front line. So I won't be surprised if he misses a game or two. It won't be the end of the world for their season. But my concern long term would be, is this going to be something that continues to bother him? Because the back, you know, more so than anything else, you look at like his elbow, he had that elbow brace and he dealt with it. But a back injury is always a concern, because it's one of those injuries that even when you go get surgery, it can linger and it can have effects longer than just getting it fixed. So that makes me more nervous than him missing a couple of games at the beginning of the season.
And I'm more concerned about him rushing back to get here, especially when you know waiting on the other side of him is a 325-pound offensive tackle,
yeah,
or a guard or someone who's going to try and take him off his core, get him unlevel, and,
yep,
and put some hurt on him.
Yep.
When we come back, actually bottom of the hour, we'll kick it out to Vegas where A.J. Hoffman will be interviewing Bob Arum. More on J.J. Watt. We can talk about your Astros. Lots of stuff going on. 713-780-3776. It's Shock and Barry, the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for the Terrence Crawford-Victor Postol fight is A.J. Hoffman. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Mike Liebeschock and Barry Laminack.
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, Coach. It is unfortunate that after pretty damn good coaching career in the NFL, that is how most people will remember Dennis Green. It is Shock and Barry. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Fred Fowler concluding his escape to Saskatchewan and Regina. AJ Hoffman out in Vegas covering the fight tomorrow night, the junior welterweight unification between Terrence Crawford and Victor Postol. And I will be with you till 7. Dennis Green passing away at the age of 67 due to cardiac arrest in a statement from his family. They were with him. Didn't look like it was something like suddenly where he was just found. I mean, he was in the hospital. His family was with him. And as you go through the day and you see the reactions to him, everyone, players, coaches, executives, people he worked with in the media out in Arizona, like Larry Fitzgerald Sr., who's a sports writer out there. No one, absolutely no one, with a cross word for him. He was the second African-American coach in NFL history after Art Shell Two good runs, one with Minnesota, one before that, with Arizona, or pardon me, Minnesota, then Arizona. Mm-hmm. Was the coach of that 15-1 squad with the Vikings. Second only to Bud Grant in that franchise's history. It's Dennis Green.
Yeah, 67. Second in most all-time wins for African-American coaches at 113. Dungy's first with 139, and Marvin Lewis is third at 112.
Yep.
Yeah, he, what, did you give his record, 113 and 94?
No, you just did.
Oh, okay.
Good job
yeah.
by you.
Yeah, it's sad, man. It always sucks when you lose guys, good guys, and, you know, like you said, not a crossword. Everyone that played for him, from what it sounds like, loved to play for the guy. I mean, he was described as a player's coach, and... Yeah, and it does kind of suck that's what he'll be remembered for more than anything is that rant.
For a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah,
the same way Jim Mora, you know, and Dennis Green was more accomplished than Jim Mora. Let's not get that mixed up. Yeah. And it's sad that when people write that they feel the need to, I don't know if you think, some people might think it's marginalizing, but to rank him against other black coaches, I'm not sure the validity of that. But as it is, he was one of the better coaches of his generation. And everyone from Randy Moss to Kurt Warner to Robert Smith, they all love the guy, and he did have those moments. He definitely was ornery. The referees certainly knew when he wasn't thankful, you know, when he wasn't appreciative of the job that they were doing. But even moving into television after the coaching career was over, I loved him. I thought he was fantastic. He was poignant. He didn't pander to players. And he told it like it was. And it's cool when you get a coach. You know, Dungy is more diplomatic. I like when a guy like Denny would get in there and just lay it on the line.
Tell you how it is. Yeah, absolutely.
So, 8 playoff appearances in the 10 seasons he was with them from 92 to 2001. Got the NFC championship game in 98 and in 2000. And again, that 15-1 regular season in 1998.
So. And he was fifth in the 90s in wins.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Fifth in most wins in the 90s.
Interesting. Who was first? I'm just curious.
No clue. I just
they
saw that.
Rank.
Yeah.
Who?
I mean, I didn't go
and
like, count all the wins of the '90s, but
yeah.
Oh well, I mean, sure.
I mean, that's not on you. But if you're going to do that, if someone does that,
you should do. Well, you just chastised. Well, whoever wrote that, but when I was talking about among African American coaches, yeah, you give the others, and it's not comparing him to the other African American coaches. It's the fact that one, it's a hot topic right now, minority coaching in the NFL.
That's true,
and the fact that he was, like you said, he was the second African American coach, and. It had some significance in his career, but yeah, you're right. When you do something, if you're just going to give out the fifth guy, you kind of want to know who's
ever watched
one through four. Yeah. Also, but
you're watching a baseball game, they'll say, you know, so and so was second in the league in triples last year, but they don't tell you who was first.
Who was
like,
first? Yeah.
Hey, thanks for going that extra mile there, Chief.
Yeah.
Much appreciated, man. And Ian Rappaport has been busy all day. He was the guy who. After Chronicle locally, he was all over the J.J. Watt stuff. Every notification I got today of a breaking NFL story had Ian Rappaport attached to it. The second one that came out, and this is again, and I told Raheel this morning on Reality Check, I know two or three people that have already had fantasy football drafts, and it is the 22nd of July.
Really?
I don't know why.
Why?
Yeah.
That's insane.
I do not know.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
Here's one reason.
Why would you do that?
Le'Veon Bell facing a 4-game suspension for violating the league's policy on substance abuse. Specifically, he missed a drug test. So he is out 4 weeks. That team is already missing Martavis Bryant for the entire season due to a substance abuse-related suspension. Pittsburgh made the playoffs last year despite missing Big Ben and Le'Veon for 15 starts between the two of them.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Not yet. He's gone. He's not gone
He'll
yet.
He'll be gone.
It is on appeal.
Whoever comes back from that.
No. He didn't test positive again. He missed the test.
Missing a test is missing a test.
Yeah,
there's
but
no way
you don't
around
know.
That.
You don't know what circumstances around it. That's why it's on appeal.
Here's the thing, though.
Like, what if he was in Regina, and I almost said the wrong word. What if he was in Regina?
Yeah.
And Southwest Airlines servers went down.
They will come to you.
Because that happened also this week.
They will come to you.
And no, they won't.
I think the
they will. I think on
Antonio Pierce
Brasillo.
Was on.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the fact
that. Don't ever agree with Shock again, Tyler. I don't like that.
But Pierce was talking about
I'll agree with you once.
Yeah. On Russell and Cannell today. Talking about the fact that. One day in the offseason, he was on vacation in San Diego with his family at SeaWorld. Got a call from the league that they were at his house waiting on him. you know, somehow, some way they managed to back it off to the next day. He got a warning letter. The difference is that Le'Veon Bell is in the program. He's got priors. So I don't see how they will let him around this.
What you want to bet it's not four games.
What if he pulled
Tyler shaves his beard.
What if he pulled a Wanderlei Silva and just hauled ass out the side door when they showed up at his house?
It's possible, yeah.
I want that to be the story.
Right.
I want that to be the story. And then this afternoon,
I could see this getting trimmed down to two games, maybe.
I think it's going to be four.
No.
It could be six.
Yeah, ooh, that'd be good. That would be. Wouldn't that suck if you go on appeal and you get more?
It gets worse. Is that worse than getting fired on your day off?
Yeah,
when you
right?
when you appeal,
Craig,
that's not going to happen.
Hey, Dustin Knight on Twitter, recent follower of mine, and I'm sure yours too. I'm guessing.
Nope.
Sent a tweet out. Said, "Please shame Tyler on air for being a tool." And inviting his random chick on a dude's road trip to Austin. What are you doing, Tyler?
Now this guy's getting personal. Who is this guy?
You had a dude's road trip all set up.
You invited a chick?
And then you invited some random garden tool.
He's such a Kelso.
To come on this trip with you.
That's a Michael Kelso.
I didn't know if
move.
I could say the word or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he just invited Jackie. With the rest of the gang.
Huh?
Kelso just invited Jackie along with the rest of the gang because she probably found out about it and insisted that she go along.
I'll have words with this man.
Do you know who it is?
Yeah. I was the best man in his wedding. So. Oh.
Well, then why were you saying it was some random dude getting
so you guys have met?
Wanted to jack with him.
So you really asked a chick to come on a road trip with you with a bunch of dudes?
What's the
story here, Tyler?
Okay, so we're going to Austin tomorrow for a beer release.
Okay.
And
excuse me?
It's only, yeah. Just don't even ask any more questions.
Such a nerd.
It's AJ's going on Sunday, so hey,
oh
whatever.
My God, you
it's
guys.
Two per person
starter kit,
and I wanted more beer than what the two would be. So I invited her as well, so that way I could get four, not two.
Okay.
And
what if it turns out to suck?
You didn't have another buddy that could go. Like you have three friends, two friends,
couldn't
and that's
get a
it?
Dude.
Two
no,
dude
nobody
friends?
Wants to go because it's too nerdy. He's Shock the only
will go.
Friend. No, he
go.
Will not.
No,
I was just trying to make him go.
No,
on air.
Actually, come on, just come on.
Go, Shock.
No,
maybe you could start growing a beard and you could try to be like the third AJ Hoffman in the crew.
I'm sure you have a drawer full of dad socks.
I don't. I wear all no shows unless I'm wearing boots. And then I'm wearing.
Oh, that's great.
Wearing socks.
I'm actually wearing some of those.
All right. Well, we've gone this far with it, Tyler. What is the what's the nature of the beer that you're going to pick up from the beer release?
It's a
raspberry. Please don't open that box.
We have to.
It's a raspberry sour beer.
Is that like Bud Light?
Is that what? Say that again.
Is that like Bud Light?
Yeah, it's a lot like Bud Light.
Does it come with a lovely garnish, like of raspberries and oranges on a toothpick or something like that?
Yeah, it's very nice. Classic.
I can't.
Is there fruity notes and an oaky finish?
I try to do the beer thing. I try to do get fancy and try different beers, and they all taste so horrible. Like I'm not a beer. Like I drink Crown. I'm a Crown guy, right? And I'll drink like Bud Light. That's the beer that I started drinking, and it's the beer I've always drank. But when I try these craft beers or these fancy schmancy beers. I did. They all just taste horrible to me.
Full disclosure, I went to HEB and got that get your own six pack for $10. Just picked a bunch of stuff that looked interesting.
And like it horrible.
Like when you've bought
a
record.
Like a cat peed in a bottle and you just put
when
a
you
cap
bought a record
on.
Or a CD because of the cover, it looked cool.
Yes.
The only thing I liked was the hard ginger ale. Everything else was crap. And I'm actually going to bring it in for you on Sunday so you can take it home.
I've done that for you buying out. I'm like, all right, so these guys with these braids look like they can see. I never heard of Milli Vanilli.
Do y'all actually like the smell of...
They wrote
of,
Mrs. Trump's speech. Did
you like
that?
The smell of weed? Have you ever...
The smell of weed?
What about the smell
of
weed?
Do I like it?
Because if you like hoppy beers, then you probably enjoy that smell. But you don't like...
I don't mind it.
Dude, I'm the guy that needs the mountains to turn blue to be like, okay, I can drink my beer now. That's my level of commitment into craft beer.
Fair enough.
That's it. You're asking me if it's hoppy and oady and weedy. I don't know any of that.
Next segment, we're going to kick this thing out to Vegas, where the Blitz's very own AJ Hoffman is going to chat with Bob Arum ahead of the Terrence Crawford-Victor Postal fight tomorrow night in Vegas. right here in Houston. It's Shock and Barry. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Turning lane, turning heads every time I swing in the rain.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for the Terrence Crawford-Victor Postol fight is AJ Hoffman. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Mike Liebeschock and Barry Laminack.
Joining us on the program is the man who has put this all together, the Crawford-Postol fight, Bob Arum. Joins us on the air, the head man for Top Rank Promotions. How are you, Bob?
Good, really good.
Talk about the lead up to this fight. I know most people say that you are looking at Terrence Crawford as sort of the heir apparent for your company as Manny Pacquiao transitions out. Apparently, he's going to fight again, it looks like. But Terrence Crawford seems to be your next big draw. At least that's what everyone is hoping. What goes into the decision of when you start to put this guy on pay-per-view? When do you start to push a fighter and try to get people to buy for him?
Well, you realize that when a fighter starts on pay-per-view, he generally starts at relatively modest numbers. We've had experience with putting fighters on pay-per-view going back to Oscar De La Hoya. Gradually, the fighter's following gets bigger, and as he performs, he gets more and more viewers, and eventually he becomes a superstar. We did that with Floyd Mayweather, putting him in some smaller pay-per-view fights with Zab Judah and Arturo Gatti, and Floyd then became a monster pay-per-view attraction. I think this kid, Terrence Crawford, American kid, you know, so many of the terrific fighters around today are not Americans, and Terrence is, and he's very articulate, and he comes from the center of the country in Omaha, Nebraska, and he has all the qualities to become a boxing superstar, assuming that he performs in the ring. And this is a massive test for him on Saturday against Victor Postol.
Is that sort of a tough thing? Because Postol's a tough guy, and he's not a very well-known guy, but he's got a nice resume. Is it a risky move in your eyes to put Crawford on pay-per-view for the first time against someone who I think is a pretty dangerous opponent from
it's
a technical standpoint?
Always a risky move, because if people are going to pay money to watch it on pay-per-view, they want a competitive match, which means that the fighter like Terrence Crawford could very well lose the fight. But that's the nature of the sport.
Are you surprised at the numbers down at the sports book that they have Crawford favored so heavily?
Well, you have to understand, Crawford is the American. He has the African-American style when he fights, you know, it developed by Sugar Ray Robinson, then Ali, then Leonard, Mosley, Mayweather. And that style has been very, very successful. The average bettor tends to underestimate the Eastern European style of fighting. But as you know, in boxing, we're getting more and more Eastern European fighters that are dominating. People who are betting on this fight haven't yet caught up with that fact.
You've been in the news recently. You had some comments about the UFC. Dana, you think that the UFC is dirtier than boxing. Dana White responds by calling you the biggest dirtbag in sports. Do you think that this is ever going to the beef between the MMA and boxing will ever go away?
Well, Dana White has destroyed his credibility forever by making a speech at the Republican convention backing that clown, Donald Trump. So I wouldn't even address Dana White anymore.
You told us last time you are not a big fan of Donald Trump.
I'm not a fan of Donald Trump at all. I think he's extraordinarily dangerous for America and for the world. And people have to realize that if you don't have respect for your fellow man, even if they're a minority group, like an African-American, like a Hispanic, then you don't have respect for what this country stands for.
We talked a little bit earlier about Manny Pacquiao. And last time we talked, you said Manny Pacquiao will not fight again. He's done. He's hanging it up. Do you still feel the same way, or do you feel like Manny is ready to come back?
No, I know. Here was the problem. Manny was running for Senate. He didn't know what serving in the Senate required. In the Philippines, unlike the United States, they have 24 senators that are voted on by the entire nation, not just regions like we have or states. 12 senators get elected every 6 years. So it is a very prestigious position, but also hard work and time consuming. He now has settled in to being a Philippine senator, and he has conferred with the president of the Philippine Senate. And he has been told that as long as he doesn't miss sessions, there are certain weeks that the Senate will be in recess. So he has figured out, he loves boxing, he wants to continue boxing, that he would attend Senate sessions in Manila, set up a training camp in Manila, either which before or after he sat in the Senate, and certainly on weekends. And then the Senate will be in recess some couple of days before the 15th of October. He would then fly to the United States to continue his training as usual in the wild card gym, and then could fight on November 5th. Giving him 3 weeks here in this country. And after the fight, win or lose, he would fly back to Manila to serve in the Senate. So he didn't realize that his schedule would permit him to continue boxing, and now he's confident that it does.
Do you feel when a guy says, I'm hanging it up, and then he decides to come back, do you always wonder if, you know, even just temporarily saying that I'm done for a while, do you wonder if his performance level will be the same when he comes back?
Well, you can't talk about Manny Pacquiao in those terms. The only reason Manny Pacquiao was retiring because he felt that the Senate obligations were such that he couldn't continue boxing. Now they are. He's just fought a tough fight. He looked very good with Bradley in April, and so he really hasn't had a layoff of any kind. So, you know, I think that now that everything has been clarified, I look forward to Manny Pacquiao returning, and maybe if Terrence Crawford beats Victor Postol, a fight between Manny and Terrence would be huge.
And for your purposes as a promoter, and like we talked about at the beginning, sort of looking at Crawford as maybe a guy who can take that torch for Manny Pacquiao, does a fight between those two, because people will tune in to watch Manny Pacquiao fight every time. Do you feel like that fighting a guy like Pacquiao will be what it really takes to make Crawford a pay-per-view star?
Well, that helps. I mean, Pacquiao became a pay-per-view star by fighting Oscar De La Hoya and destroying De La Hoya.
That is Bob Arum. He is the promoter for Top Rank Boxing. Appreciate you taking some time with us, Bob. Enjoy your weekend. Hopefully the numbers come back on Monday and you're a happy man.
Well, I think we will be because People who follow boxing know that not only is the main event possibly going to be the fight of the year, certainly evenly matched fighters, but the undercard is terrific. Terrific fighters on the undercard. That featherweight championship bout between Rueda of Argentina and Oscar Valdez Jr. of Mexico. Tremendous fight.
Great. Bob, appreciate the time. Best of luck, my friend.
Good. Good talking to you.
There you go. Bob Arum. Talk about it.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN.
ESPN
97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
From the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for the Terrence Crawford-Victor Postol fight is A.J. Hoffman. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Mike Liebeschock and Barry Laminack.
Welcome back to The Blitz on a Friday. Shock and Barry with you in for Fred and AJ. Well, AJ kind of. He's out in Vegas.
Yeah, living it up.
And you will hear next hour AJ's interview with Jim Lampley, recorded on Radio Row out there in Vegas, as well as a chat he had with Roy Jones Jr. And then in hour three, Max Kellerman from ESPN, who's been covering boxing forever out there. He was part of Around the Horn, and like I said, he is the replacement for Skip Bayless on First Take. So if you don't watch that, you're not going to worry about
it. Can you really replace one Skip B. Bayless?
Nope. Well, the hair is less preposterous, but no. The goatee is a little sketchy.
I always hated Max Kellerman because he looks young. Even as he
hasn't changed
old.
At all, either.
No. He ages really well. He's like the Bob Costas. No, wait. Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Bob Costas.
No, not Bob Costas.
Bob Costas Dick Clark. The Dick Clark of sports.
Yeah, okay. He's the Dick Clark of boxing.
Except,
that's what I was
like,
thinking.
Bob Costas' dye job has just gotten, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just gotten nefarious over the last
couple
years.
I have always thought his head was too big for his body, too.
Remember the when he did the Olympics a couple years back and he had pink eye? During the Olympic broadcast,
yes.
They would go to,
tooted on your pillow, Bob?
Yeah, it was like, I don't remember where that was, but they would go to him, and I'm thinking, damn.
Yeah.
Don't even get near me. Like,
you know,
I would imagine that
point.
You
know, you get pink eye.
Like, makeup isn't wanting to come near him.
No.
So he's just going on as is every day.
Yeah. Hey, before we get back into sports, say now. That was for all the AJ fans. I have a question. This goes back to our discussion earlier about beer. During the break, we had a Miller Lite commercial. And at one point, if you're listening to that commercial, and this is the case for all beer commercials on the radio. Have you ever noticed that when they open the beer and pour it, you hear the fizz? You don't hear fizz when you pour beer. Like with a soda, you hear the fizz. But why do you hear fizz when they pour the beer? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't think I so much hear fizz as I just hear
yeah,
the beer.
Yeah, you got
to
let it. Well, you'll let it run and listen next time. Just listen to
hey,
any
can you
beer
slow
commercial.
It down the way they did the last couple seconds of The Walking Dead so maybe we can hear some, screaming
and,
in the background?
If you play it backwards, it says Tyler's a beer dork.
Took
it's just
like
a, it's like
a champ.
Yeah.
That's what they heard.
I don't know. I've always wondered that. Why you hear the fizz?
Okay,
in,
this
in
is
beer
it.
Pool.
I've never slowed, thought of
that before. Oh gosh.
I guess.
Here we go.
200%. I don't know.
I was joking.
Now it sounds like a dubstep.
Yeah,
song.
I was gonna say. Now it sounds like a dubstep song. Yeah. All right.
Are you happy now?
I'm good. That's just I've always wondered that why you're not supposed to hear fizz from beer. That
well, it's because
right.
I think they're pouring it in such a way that it creates more fizz.
Well, wouldn't you think that the the frothy head that might come out of the bottle or can first would cover up.
Well, they
the
don't
fizz.
Care, and it's just for sound effect.
I'm just saying when you
they're
pour
not going to drink the
when
beer.
You pour yeah, beer.
Exactly. I don't want a frothy head on my beer.
You're going to get one whether you want it or not. And you know what? There's nothing worse than watching a bartender who doesn't know how to pour beer out of the tap.
Yeah, I was at a
wastes a pitcher or two.
I was at BJ's Brew House yesterday up in Addison, Texas. I had a gig up there at the Addison Improv, and before there, we walked across the street and sitting there. I'm drinking Crown, and I'm right in front of the tap, and the lady that's pouring beer, like the glass. And I'm not a beer drinker, but I know that when half of the glass is foam, that you've done it wrong. And she just sat there.
Trying to give it to you.
She sat there in front of me for what seemed like 10 minutes, running. The tap is just wide open, and she'd get some foam and she'd pour it out. But then she wouldn't like tilt the glass or anything. I was like, I really just wanted to ask her, like, is this your first day around
like,
beer?
Let me do that for you.
Yeah, is this your first day being around beer? Because even I know you got to tilt the glass sideways to help it out a little
Have
bit.
Have you seen the, there's a picture of Hillary Clinton at some brewery, and she's actually pouring a beer exactly like that.
Yeah, just straight
and
up.
And a bunch of crap beer nerds are just
roasting her.
Roasting her, pooping on her.
Yeah, but it was like she wasted a lot because like she just left it open and she just kept pouring it out. I was like, man, that's a lot of...
Oh, I guess it's cool whenever craft beer nerds get the chance to pile on someone else because it doesn't happen too often.
No.
I would imagine. Someone was asking on the text, by the way, 713-780-3776, knowing that Jong is here in the building yet not producing, what is it that he's up to? And he has been suspected of chasing Pokemon, additional Pokemon around this building.
He probably has. We need a Pokemon update. I need to know.
Pokemon.
What?
Yeah, we cannot do that.
You all right over there?
Is that the Pokemon update music? I'm thinking.
So you want to go get Jong and see where he's
out there
at in the
playing,
gym?
Playing Galaga, I think.
Is he?
That man is playing Galaga.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
All right.
So the timeline today, man, went after the J.J. Watt stuff.
Yep.
Then the Le'Veon Bell
stuff.
Are you
freaking out as a Texans fan? Are you, like, literally losing your mind?
No, because, you know, that offense is going to be hanging 45 points a game, so there's nothing to worry about.
Ball control!
But, serious up. After that came the Ezekiel Elliott news of, hey, John, what's up, man? People were wondering, since we alluded to the fact that you're in the building, but you're not producing, are you chasing Pokemon, and is there an update on your compliments?
Are you a Pokemon wizard? What is it called?
No,
a Pokemon maestro?
No, I am not. I told a friend, AJ, all this time, I don't play that much. Like
We know you're lying.
Third level cleric.
No, because I think I'm like a level, I don't even know
12
what level
paladin?
I am. I think I'm level 10, and there's people that are in their 20s. My girlfriend, Teresa, she's a level, I think, 14.
Dude, you're letting your girlfriend beat you?
Dude, I'm here like 9-10 hours a day.
Yeah, but you could be running around the parking lot.
No.
Like you're right now. You're not even working.
Well, I'm working.
Yeah, you're just here, just Cadillacing, eating everybody's food in the fridge.
Yeah, I did take your apple, though.
You look how fat I am. Yeah. You think I'm eating fruit and
I'm
vegetables?
I'm drinking your Diet Coke.
You crazy?
I'm drinking your Diet Coke.
I know damn well you're lying when you start talking about eating my fruit and vegetables.
He dips the apple in the Diet Coke. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, good
no,
to
I don't
know.
I don't play that much. We might sometimes, if we have a free night, we might drive around and go to places.
Really?
Yeah. Go to different Pokestops.
Pokestops.
Pokestops
they
is
charge
the worst
by the hour,
sounding
by the way.
Thing.
They're
ever.
Called Pokestops.
Rubber sheets and they
it's like
charge
shops.
By the hour.
It's like shops where you go by and you spin a little thing and then like free Pokeballs come out and that's how you get more
just
Pokeballs.
Balls all
it gets
over the
worse.
Place. Yeah. Just Pokeballs all over the place.
The
huh?
Pokemon Go vernacular gets worse all the time.
Mike, you have kids, don't they play?
Yeah, but they're like cool kids.
Yeah, but they're kids.
Yeah, kids play, adults. I'm a 90s kid. I grew up with Pokemon, so it's nostalgia.
You know what I will say, though? The cool thing about this is that it is getting you outside, whereas you would be at home. Well, technically,
yeah,
no.
I couldn't think of anything to do with my woman in the middle of the night. Gee,
no, but it's
what are we going to do? I'm bored. I don't know. What do you want to do? I know. Oh, what? She starts taking her shirt off. Pokestops. Oh, God. She's got to put her shirt back on. Damn it,
no,
John.
She says, well, that's what you want to call it. You know, it's up to you. But damn, bro. Well, maybe we'll check back in next week.
So level 10. All right.
Yes.
In 2 weeks, I'm going to call the show. I'm going to call the show to see what level you're at. You had better at least have passed your woman.
I'll probably be like level 13 or something.
He's going to break the game.
Yeah.
All right.
Like I said, I don't play that much. And the people that are listening that do play are probably laughing at me because I'm only level 10.
Is that bad?
Yeah, it's not that high.
Again, more,
well, you know what?
More
I'm level zero, so.
Well, you know.
More craft beer
you go
nerds
post your cat's poo pictures on Instagram.
Hey.
Thanks, Jong.
Yeah, thanks.
Yay.
It is. Right. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. I find pictures of my cat's poo way more interesting than people play a Pokemon Go.
713 chimes in, level 4 druid.
Level 4 druid.
Yeah, he's got magical powers. Everlife. I don't know. I'm making up powers here.
Everlife.
Levitation. Can see the future.
That's levitation, Holmes.
That's levitation, Holmes. John gets way more ass than either of you. That is incorrect, sir.
I'm married.
Wow, we're getting graphic here.
So it might be correct.
We're getting graphic here. So good. Well, that's what happens, man. I mean, every time we open the damn portal, it's either Game of Thrones BS or now this Pokemon Go thing. And I'm calling for a moratorium on any show that I'm connected to at any given time that we no longer utter that word, the P word.
What, Pokemon Go? Bro, I cannot wait till Sunday. Tyler, Sunday, I am going to have the Pokemon app on my phone.
Please do.
Just to aggravate.
Spend the weekend, dude.
Just to aggravate shock.
713-780-3776. We have an intern. His name is Shaw. He's out in the bullpen.
Does Shaw play Pokemon?
He
does.
We'll ask him after the break. It's Shock and Barry. Houston game day. Blitz style, or Blitz style Houston game day on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Dave & Buster's is your place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports all under one roof. This week at Dave & Buster's on Richmond Avenue, happy hour hits from 4:30 to 7 p.m. with half.